this week, I attended a screening of a short film called Abundance. It was the story of several college kids who, at the height of the pandemic, were told to leave their college dorms and continue life online, shut away from their communities. Many of you know what that was like. And some of their classmates even had no homes to return to. Three young students shared their struggle with depression, isolation, and purposelessness as they tried to figure out what to do next. And then one of them saw a news story about mile-long lines for food banks around the country as people who lost their jobs in the pandemic couldn't afford to feed their families. And meanwhile, they also saw reports of how farmers were having to throw away their fresh produce because the supply chain had shut down with so many stores closing. And suddenly, these creative young people put two and two together and found a purpose. They started calling local farms to see if they'd be willing to donate their extra produce to area food banks. And almost all the initial farmers that they contacted turned them down and even mocked their idea. They couldn't believe it. But when the students heard that large industrial farms were throwing away thousands of pounds of produce each week, they decided to try to reach out to them. And lo and behold, they got lucky. One giant farm after the next agreed to let the students pick up their excess food rather than let it go to waste and create huge amounts of garbage and methane gas. So the students loaded fruits and vegetables onto rented U-Haul trucks to begin with and ship them across to food banks that needed them, and they called themselves FoodLink. And within a few weeks, they'd organized trucking and delivery systems that helped transport the excess produce from large farms to food banks all over the country. And they ended up feeding hundreds of thousands of people who might otherwise have gone hungry. Isn't it amazing? And they even figured out how they could solve the problem of food insecurity in all of America. And when they presented their FoodLink program before Congress during the last administration, they received a $1.65 million grant to continue this program. And the film was so inspiring. Those of you who had a board meeting with me that night, or I think I had a meeting right after it, saw how inspired I was when I came back from that. Out of one of their darkest moments, these students became hugely creative, and they found purpose, and they helped their fellow humans. And they look back on that time now, and they realize that they had no idea how hard it was going to be. But because they had a clear vision of helping as many people as they could and saving people's lives, they persevered despite the struggle. And joy, purpose, and meaning sprung out of a very difficult time. Now, of course, today, my friends, we celebrate Easter. And the story of Jesus' life, his suffering, death, and eventual resurrection is well known to most of you. But what I remembered this Easter was Jesus' prophetic message of helping the most marginalized, oppressed, and impoverished, and his courage to stand up to the corrupt authoritarian regime at the time. He spoke truth to power, even though it came at tremendous cost. And of course, Jesus was unjustly condemned, subjected to torture, and faced the agony of crucifixion, a death deserved for the most reviled. And with his death, it seemed that all his work and his promise had been vanquished, and his followers scattered, their hopes crushed, and their dream of a new, more loving world seemed utterly lost. Jesus, who many had believed would liberate them, lay lifeless in a tomb, and it looked like the forces of darkness had triumphed. But then, from the tomb, from the ashes, from the darkest time, Jesus' resurrection brought renewed hope and joy to so many. This powerful narrative is not only central to the Christian faith, but also resonates deeply with our Unitarian Universalist tradition, because it reminds us that adversity, struggle, and loss are an inevitable part of life. However, no matter how dire our circumstances may appear, there is always the possibility for renewal and transformation. Can I hear an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
And whether or not you believe in the physical resurrection, this story is still a beacon of hope in difficult times. And it teaches us that even in the face of immense suffering, evil, and despair, light and joy can emerge once again, and we must hope that it will. So as we live through these challenging times, let us hold fast to the belief that something unexpected, something hopeful may yet arise, that the phoenix or the prophets may arise and buried seedlings may yet bloom. Let us continue to plant and nurture the seeds of hope, compassion, and love, knowing that they may bloom into beautiful blossoms, blossoms turning into flowers even in the harshest conditions. Are you willing to keep planting those seeds? Reverend Cambern Trimble shares, "Jesus never taught us to avoid suffering. He invited us to stay awake through it, to weep, to pray, to hold each other, to walk the road anyway. But let us also rise as people who choose still to love, as people who still walk each other home, as people who will not disappear into despair because we belong to one another. And the story isn't over yet, my friends." Amen. In a moment, we're going to transition to our flower celebration. And as you see, we're surrounded by a room full of beautiful flowers. Thank you all for bringing flowers. You bring joy into our midst. So I'd like to share the powerful story of how this celebration of hope and joy emerged from a very dark time, and how it too was birthed out of pain and struggle and remains flowering as a symbol of light and resilience throughout our denomination. Norbert Chopek, who founded the Unitarian Church in Prague, developed the flower celebration in 1923 as an alternative to traditional communion. He called it a new experiment in symbolizing our liberty and unity, in which participants confess that we each accept each other as brethren without regard to race, class, or other distinction, acknowledging everybody as our friend who wants to be good. The ritual was brought to the United States in the 1940s by Chopek's wife, Maya, after Norbert had been captured and executed by the Nazis at the Dachau concentration camp. Tragically, on October 12, 1942, he was sent to the gas chamber. His words and ideas of universal love and acceptance had threatened the Nazi regime. And after ministering to many in the concentration camp, and before he died, Chopek wrote these words: "It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow ye evil winds into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. He who was pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcomed into the choir of heroes." Those were his bold words. And Chapik's vision and enduring love give us hope over a century later as we celebrate this beautiful tradition throughout Unitarian Universalist congregations every year. And like Jesus, Chapik's love and vision was stronger than death. His dream for a more beautiful life lives on through this tradition. So in the flower celebration, we honor a man whose faith in freedom was great, whose outspoken defense of liberty and truth took him to death in a concentration camp. But we also celebrate his legacy, the individual buds of love and color we all bring to community. These flowers are a living embodiment of diversity and beauty that remind us of the power of seeds sown throughout life. But of course, the flower celebration is more than an aesthetically pleasing ritual. It is actually an affirmation of our highest ideals. Norbert Chapik's wife, Maya, put it this way. No two flowers are alike. No two people are alike. Yet each has a contribution to make. Each would help to make this world as beautiful as a colorful bouquet. Organized and growing into a true community, we are ready to serve one another, the nation and the world. By exchanging flowers, we signify that we are willing, in the spirit of tolerance and patience, to march together in search of truth, disregarding all that usually divides humankind. Are you up for that call?
Oh, yeah.
So, my friends, as we honor Easter and the resurrection of hope, what seeds do we want to sow in this life at this time to transform into fragrant blossoms even after we pass from this earth? Because that, perhaps, is our true life's purpose. To sprinkle seeds of intention and beauty that will resurrect in people's hearts long after none of us are around anymore. The poet May Sarton wrote, "Help us to be always hopeful gardeners of the spirit, who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers." So, my friends, may our most difficult days carry within them the seedlings of new life, and may we resurrect from darkness into light. And may we remember, even when life seems most muddy and painful, sometimes the most beautiful blooms are just waiting to flower. May it be so. As we transition now to our flower celebration, we want to bless all of these flowers with the words of Elizabeth Strong. I invite you to raise your hands and point them towards some of the flowers in the room and send all your loving energy towards them. Enter into the communion of flowers. Enter with joyful hearts. Enter with reverent thoughts. It has taken long months beneath the cold ground for these flowers to prepare their blooming. It has taken each of us long times of growth through sorrow and joy to prepare for our living now. The blooming season is short. The flowers stay only a brief time. We are travelers upon this earth, travelers through all too brief lifetimes. Therefore, let our moments be bountiful and our hearts be grateful. Blessed be. So we will now share in our flower celebration ritual. And I invite you to form three lines. One will be over here for the choir. You'll go to that table. Maybe you'll do it row by row. One in the center here, the center section will go to those flowers, and that section will go to those flowers. I ask that as you approach our community vases, you do so reverently. Each one of us brings gifts of love and beauty to this community, and You shared those gifts symbolically by bringing a flower to our celebration. And now, as you come up, I invite you to take a different flower from the vases, remembering that you are enriched by the many gifts, talents, and love others bring to this community. And as you take your flower, you may wish to make a wish for another person or for our world, and hold that close to your heart. My beloveds, may the love we share as a community and the beautiful spirit of the flowers remind us each of the joy that springs from adversity. It is with the help of our gifts to one another and nature, and the potency and beauty of nature, that our spirits may resurrect. May the flowers remind us that out of our darkest times, color, magnificence, and beauty can restore our wholeness. Let us now share in this Unitarian Universalist ritual of oneness in reverent silence.